I had a hard time coming up with a children's message on our text this morning. It's a really hard one, and it's a very obscure parable. If you know this about me, when preaching happens, I like to, for sermons, I really have to, I like to go after tough texts. So I'm going to do that here this morning. We're going to take a look at St. Luke 20 and the parable of the vineyard, the tenants here, these wicked tenants. Dear friends, one of the things that I really enjoyed doing when I was young and even a few years ago, I really enjoyed tug-of-war battles. Any of you love a good battle for power, a good tug-of-war? You know how that works. A big rope is presented with everyone that's playing, and one team is decided. You might pick who's on your team. And then on the other, and they line up on one side of the rope. And then the other team is decided, and they line up on the other side. And then some important decisions are made. Who is going to be the anchor on each team? The best anchor is the guy that, or that person with the big biceps and the tattoo maybe and just looks intimidating and, well, I'm not going anywhere. And the other team chooses the person with legs of steel that can just dig in and be the anchor for the team. The referee comes and says, go ahead and begin. And the two teams just pull at each other with all their might. I'm so excited this morning. Should we try it after church outside? Anybody? Barry's in. All right. Yeah, we got a few people. Yeah, Jackson. All right, Nicholas. That means we've got to do it later. Oh. Well, what I've noticed in tug-of-war battles, the few that I've been a part of and just watching tug-of-war, I've taken away two observations, and I think they're true of every single tug-of-war battle. Number one, there's always a winner. Have you ever seen a tie in a tug-of-war battle? I don't think it's possible. There can't be. There's always a winner. And the people that win, even if the skin's rubbed off their hand, they're really excited, and they just feel really good about their accomplishment. And on the other side, how does it feel when you lose a tug-of-war battle? Does it feel a little muddy, a little dirty? Doesn't feel very good. Everyone's piled up in the middle. Maybe there's mud in the middle and you're dirty for the rest of the day. So that's one. That's the first observation, is there's never a tie. But here's my second observation. I actually think everyone loses. Because at the end of the day, you may trade one person to the other team to kind of balance things out, and you try it again. And you see, with the shifting of power, the team that won now loses, and everyone at the end of the day is dirty and messy. That's happens with a tug of war, a struggle for power. You know, as I think about religion in general, religion can be described as, especially when it comes to religious authorities, it can be described as a tug of war, a battle for power. And who gets on top and controls things? It's kind of behind what's going on here in Jesus' parable with the scribes and the chief priests. Jesus tells this parable, and he kind of spells out who plays each role. You see, there is this owner of a vineyard, and he lets out the vineyard to some tenants. The tenants are supposed to collect the harvest when it comes and take care of things. And the owner sends messengers to collect the fruit, and then finally, after the messengers are treated harshly and kicked out, the owner finally sends his son, and these wicked tenants kill the son. It's a really gruesome parable. How do you preach this? Jesus basically says that the chief priests and the scribes are the tenants. Did you catch that in the way he described this parable? Jesus describes them as the ones who are power hungry. And as you think about religion and those who are in authority, no matter what the religion is, isn't it true that religion can be quantified or described as nothing more than a power struggle? It was there in Jesus' day when one chief priest led the way. Everyone piled on to his teaching and his way, and there was a tug of war for power, and everyone followed him. And then after a few years, it switched to someone else. They became the chief priests, and they followed him, and there was power and control, that sort of thing. Christianity has done it too, hasn't it? Throughout the history of Christianity, there's been a leader or a group who's had all the power, and everyone's gone to that person or group, and then it's switched and gone to another. Islam has it. All religions have it. Islam has an imam that has the teaching and says this is the way that it should be, and people line up behind that imam, and then another person lines up behind another person after the power shifts. You see, it's a tug-of-war battle. But friends, it's not just religion. It's our personal lives. Do you feel the tug-of-war of life going on in your life? A battle for power. You know, it can sometimes happen between men and women. There is a joke about this I wanted to share with you this morning. There were 11 people that were hanging on a rope from a helicopter above them. 10 of them were men, and one was a woman. They're hanging on for dear life, and they're barely hanging on, and the helicopter isn't really flying the way that it should, so they all decided, the 11 of them, that one person would have to let go, sacrifice so that everyone else could live. No one was volunteering there, raising their hands. They were holding onto the rope. Then finally, the woman held on with one hand and raised her hand and said, "I'll sacrifice." And she gave a beautiful speech. The speech was about how women are used to sacrificing because they lay down their desires for husbands and children. And so she said, "I'll sacrifice." And when she said that, all 10 men were touched by her speech, so much so that they began to clap their hands. And the woman was the only one that survived. Power struggle. It's all around us. Tug of war. You feel it this morning. Every single person here has a power struggle going on in your life. It could be in religion. It could be between nations, borders, and how they work. It could be in relationships, husbands and wives, grandparents, grandchildren, in-laws. Do you feel that power struggle going on in your life? When you walked in here this morning, what was the power struggle going on in your heart, being tugged one way or the other? As I study the Gospels, I've come to the conclusion that behind all the teachings of Jesus, and all behind all the miracles and all the interactions that Jesus had, there were powerful power struggles going on behind the scenes. Did you catch what our text says here this morning about the chief priests and scribes after he tells this parable? It says there in verse 19, go ahead and check it out. The chief priests and scribes in that moment, in that very hour, decided to lay their hands on Jesus, but they decided not to do that because they feared the people. But then they sent out spies, and they pretended to be sincere to Jesus. As you look at Jesus' life, there's so many people, even his disciples, they're looking for power and ways to get on top. Herod trying to get on top and be powerful, the chief priests and the scribes, and at times they're like someone on the tug of war that wins, and they're so excited they're winning and beating Jesus. But at other moments, they're despairing and they're sad because it looks like Jesus is winning. Here's the thing. Take this away today. Jesus Christ never played the power game. Never played it. Never did it. Jesus never played into the tactics of the people around him. He knew that those who would win would ultimately pile on to someone else down the road. He knew that the power structure of religion, of all sorts of nations, of relationships, the power plays that happen, that there needed to be a new way of operating. So he offered a new way. It's revealed in the parable. The new way is sacrifice. His death. That's the way to break a power struggle. Jesus knew that there'd be no way to grab power and win, and there'd be no way that things would ever change, so he introduced a whole new strategy, sacrifice. As you come forward to this church, it's the central part of this church. The giving of Jesus' body and blood come, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It's the pinnacle of this church, the sacrifice of Jesus. When I was in seminary, there was a professor that said, do you want to find out what the most important part of the service is? And all the seminarians said, it's my sermon. It's the sermon I get to share. And the professor said this. He said, hey guys, you'll know what the most important part of the service is by the elevation of where the pastor is as he's conducting the service. This is what he meant. At the beginning of the service, the pastor is out here singing songs and sharing perhaps the liturgy, the beginning of the service, the Kyrie. Then at the second half, the part that's labeled the Word in the Lutheran Church, the pastor steps up to the chancel area. And we pay a little bit more attention because here a prayer is offered that focuses us on the theme. And then the pastor, not here at this church, but he said the pastor will go up into the pulpit and he takes a few more steps up. And people pay attention a little bit more. It's getting a little more serious. But then he'd end by saying, and in most churches, old school, the altar was up on steps. That highlighted, this is the most important message to take away. And it is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And it breaks the power struggle. You know, one person's sacrifice can have a huge ripple effect on a community. Maybe you heard this story, but back in January, in the Chicago area, there was a great cold snap that came down from up north. And there were about 5 days where the temperatures were under about 20 degrees Fahrenheit, very cold. And there was a lady that was so overcome by how this would affect a vulnerable population, she decided to sacrifice. So she paid for 20 rooms at a local hotel at $70 a piece to house the homeless during a very cold snap. Then she went on social media and shared it with others that she was doing this. Then she offered anyone who would transport other people into this hotel, she would pay them herself. Then it all of a sudden flooded out into the Chicago area. Businesses jumped in, and social media, it became viral, this sacrifice of one person. And all of a sudden, there were three hotels that were purchased for 4 nights to take care of those who were gonna perhaps not make it through the night, which did happen in the Chicago area. The newspapers there tried to guess who would do such a thing, and they guessed it must be one of the philanthropists and this sort of thing. And you know who gave that sacrifice, what kind of person it was? A 34-year-old female with 2 children with little means. And she ultimately shared her sacrifice and her name so that everyone could see and know that just one sacrifice can spread to so many different people. And isn't that what Jesus has done with his church? His sacrifice 2,000 years ago comes right here into Philomath. And we see his example and it changes our lives. We have power structures, power struggles in our workplaces, in our families, and the only thing that will break it is sacrifice and seeing the gift that Jesus has offered us in his sacrifice. Now what that means is that we're not grabbing power, and what that means also is that we're not walking away weak and just kind of being, that's not what sacrifice is so much. And it's not about personal glory so that our name gets out there, the sacrifice that we've given. But do you know what it's really about? It's a learning moment. When we sacrifice, there's a little kid right next to us that sees it. They take it in. And the next time they're in a power struggle, maybe in their school, maybe in their family, they pause and they don't choose to grab power. They practice sacrifice. The world wants us to play a tug-of-war battle. Jesus shows us a different way today. Let it be our way Monday through Saturday and on Sunday here at church. Amen.